This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us here on Radio Stitch for Hospitals.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
Let's begin our programme with a well-known traditional hymn written by a priest called Samuel John Stone, whose surname even ties in with our theme today on foundation stones. He wrote this hymn at a time when he was trying to help people understand what the Christian faith was all about. And he points out here that the church was founded on the bedrock of Jesus Christ and his teachings. From heaven he came to seek the church out for his bride, and with his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. The song is called The Church's One Foundation, sung at Songs of Praise. Our Bible reading today from Luke's Gospel mentions stones which were part of the temple in Jerusalem. We're not talking modern regulation building bricks here. The stones the disciples looked upon were hewn in quarries and enormous, the foundation stones even more so. Here is that reading from Luke 21, verses 5 to 19. Some of Jesus' disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." "Teacher," they asked, "when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they're about to take place?" He replied, "Watch out that you are not deceived. For many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and uprisings, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and put you in prison, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. And so you will bear testimony to me. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers and sisters, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. Stand firm, and you will win life. Let's listen to Richard Crooks, one of America's finest tenors, singing The Holy City.
Last night I lay a-sleeping, there came a dream so fair. I stood in old Jerusalem beside the temple there. I heard the children singing, and ever as they sang, methought the voice of angels from heaven in answer rang. Methought the voice of angels from heaven in answer rang. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, lift up your gates. Thought my dream was changed, the streets no longer rang. Hushed were the glad hosannas, the little children sang. The sun grew dark with mystery, the morn was cold and chill. As the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill, as the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, heart of the ancient king,
here's another song which captures for me the whole atmosphere of Jerusalem. If you've ever visited this city and the temple precincts, you'll know what I mean. There is an unmistakable sense of holiness and calm here, which is most ironic, seeing that such a very fragile peace exists here in this part of the world. This next song tells us of a prophecy by Isaiah in chapter 62, which says that we must be like watchmen on the walls of the city at the ready, watching and praying for God's kingdom to come. It's sung by Barry and Batya Segal, and it's called On Your Walls, O Jerusalem.
On your walls, O
As Jesus and his disciples were passing through the temple grounds, fresh from Jesus' disputes with the religious leaders, his disciples began gazing in awe at the magnificence of the stones of the temple walls. Perhaps they were also trying to divert Jesus' attention from those who were forever challenging him and testing him. It was then that Jesus uttered this prophecy, which must have come as a great shock to all those who heard it. You can just imagine the disciples doing a double take here, saying to one another, "What did he just say there? Did we hear him correctly?" They must have been horrified by his words that this enormous temple, which up to that point had taken 46 years to build, would soon be no more, with not one stone left standing on another. And Jesus' prophecy about the fall of the temple did come true less than 50 years later. For in AD 70, Jerusalem fell to Roman armies after a terrifying and lengthy siege in which many of the inhabitants died of starvation. The city was taken apart stone by stone, over 1 million people died, and about 97,000 survivors were marched off as slaves. King Herod had had the temple built on the top of Mount Moriah, the site of the first temple built by King Solomon. It was one of the wonders of the known world then. This site still is, for Jews, Christians and Muslims, a most sacred place because their ancestor, Abraham, had been commanded by God to build an altar right there upon which to sacrifice his son. As Abraham raised his knife to slay his son as a sin offering, God stopped him and provided a ram for the sacrifice instead. His son was rescued. He was rescued from pain and death. Christians look on this story as a sign of what was to come when God's only son, Jesus, the Lamb of God, also became the sin offering. By his death on the cross, he took the punishment for our sin and disobedience upon himself, that we might be set free to enjoy abundant life, just like Abraham's son, Isaac. Here from my album, Kaleidoscope of Characters, is the song Abraham and Isaac.
Abraham was tested, oh so sorely tested. He just got a message from the living God. Go down to Moriah, sacrifice your boy there. Burn him as an offering, then report to me. Early the next morning, as the day was dawning, saddled up his donkey, set off on his way. Isaac travelled with him, trusting and unknowing, lamb for the burnt offering, Abraham load grain. Come to your daddy, my little laddie, don't think badly of me, I've a job to do. Put him on an altar and he didn't falter, raised his knife to slay him, then he heard a voice. Abraham, don't hurt him, lay no hand upon him, now God knows you're faithful, offered him your son. Now what takes the biscuit from a nearby thicket, Abraham found a ram there, offered it instead.
The temple in Jerusalem was indeed magnificent, a building still in the making at the time of Jesus, having been begun 20 years before he was born. It could be seen for miles around and from most parts of the city itself. It certainly impressed historians at the time. This is what a Jewish historian called Josephus wrote around the time of Jesus. The temple was covered all over with plates of gold of great weight, and at the first rising of the sun, reflected back a very fiery splendour, and made those who forced themselves to look to turn their eyes away, just as they would have done at the sun's own rays. But this temple appeared to strangers, when they were at a distance, like a mountain covered with snow. For as to those parts of it which were not gilt, they were exceeding white. This building with its huge stones seemed more like a fortress, so strong and impregnable, built to last forever, so some thought. But they were wrong. What have we built our lives on today as individuals and as a nation? And have we actually left out that all-important foundation stone, Jesus Christ, who holds all else in place? I wonder what the words of our next song say to you. Fool, said I, you do not know. Silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms that I might reach you. But my words, like silent raindrops, fell and echoed in the wells of silence. And the people bowed and prayed to the neon god they made, and the sign flashed out its warning and the words that it was forming, and the sign said, the words of the prophets are written on the subway walls and the tenement halls. Let's ask ourselves what words are written on the stones of the subway walls and tenement halls of our lives. Is it self-centeredness, possessions, pleasure, dissension, quarrels, resentment? And are these the right kind of stones to build our lives upon? Let's listen to Simon and Garfunkel singing The Sound of Silence.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone. Streets of cobblestone. Neath the halo of a street lamp, I turned my collar to the cold and damp. When my eyes were stabbed by the flash of a neon light, split the night and touched the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking. People hearing without listening. People writing songs that voices never share. No one did. The sound of silence. Fool, said I, you do not know. Silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms that I might reach you. But my words like silent raindrops fell. And the people bowed and prayed to the neon god they made. And the sign flashed out its warning in the words that it was forming. And the sign said the words of the prophets are written on the subway walls, the tenement halls. Sounds of silence.
Some people would say that our foundational core belief systems are disintegrating, which will leave us with no moral compass to guide us through our lives and that we're already facing the consequences. I have memories of hymns that were sung in my grandparents' days in the Methodist chapel about solid rock and shifting sands. It's only now that I'm realizing the true significance of these words. What is it, who is it, that we should put our trust in today? Is anything solid and true? The next song gives an answer, that our one true solid rock, our foundation, is faith in Jesus Christ, the only sure hope of life in this world and the next. His sacrifice for us on the cross is the one bridge which definitely leads the lost back to God, and by his blood we are washed clean and forgiven and made fit to enter into God's presence. All other ground is, as the song says, sinking sand. So here is a song called My Hope Is Built on Nothing Less.
My hope is built.
A beautiful song there, sung by Sovereign Grace Music. Instead of Jesus answering when the destruction of Jerusalem would take place, he invited his disciples instead to keep an eye out for certain signs. And what begins as a warning about the fall of Jerusalem develops into a talk of end times, in terms of small, unsettling beginnings which will steadily get worse, just like birth pains. As any woman who has ever given birth will know, these contractions come on quite suddenly, not too painful at first, but steadily getting stronger and more painful until birth takes place. According to Jesus, then, this is the very nature of what to expect before he returns one day to earth, and we must be prepared and alert, just like those watchmen in the song we heard before, for no one knows when it will occur. Let's just picture those mighty stones of the temple wall before our program ends, the ones that the disciples gazed upon. Let's imagine for a moment that they represent God. How close are we right now to those stones of the wall? Are we standing far off or up close to them? Are we trying to decide whether to move in closer? Are we there waiting and hoping for prayers to be answered? Are we there nestling in the crevices like a bird? Or are we swooping and diving like birds drawing attention to others of the wall itself? When our minds are centred on God, we have perfect peace. So I've chosen for our final song, a song by the Fisherfolk called Thou Dost Keep Him in Perfect Peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. It's based on a reading by Isaiah, chapter 26, verse 3. But first, it's time to take our leave of you now. My thanks to Andrew Ridgwick for his help in producing this programme. Say goodbye, Andrew.
Bye, everyone.
And it's also goodbye from me, Sheila Hamill. Do have a good week, everyone. Bye for now.
God has keep him in perfect peace.